Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 26 now, From Long Distance to Marriage. We're going to be talking about suspecting your partner of cheating today, right?
Yes.
But before we get there, we wanted to share some of the amusing responses we got to last week. So last week, for anyone who hasn't listened to it, was about keeping mystery in your relationship. And we shared why we're pretty much as open as you can be about being human and all the nastiness that entails. So we put a story up on our Instagram feed, Mr. Mrs. Distance, asking some questions. So I'm going to let you.
Okay, I'll take over then. So we asked, what's one thing you would never do in front of a partner? Someone said going to the bathroom. Someone said to try to hide when I'm taking out my retainer, which I get. Like, that can be kind of...
Yeah, that didn't even occur to
me.
No,
yeah, like, it is, I can see that being kind of gross.
Yeah.
Someone said pooping.
I think pooping's probably top of everyone's list.
Yeah, not ours.
No, not ours.
Have you ever wanted to pop someone's zit? Yep, only... his, which he's strongly against me doing. No. I think that was all the questions.
I mean, I don't think I'd want to pop someone's zit.
You've popped mine before.
I don't think I have.
I think you have.
I don't think so.
I think you have. Maybe I've... No, I mean, I've definitely done it to you.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why anyone would want to do it. But you love, like, popping zits.
Yeah, I have a thing for, like, all the Dr. Pimple Popper things. It makes me feel really gross, but there's just something really satisfying about it, which is because I'm actually really squeamish about stuff. Like,
oh, you hide behind, like, you cover one eye normally. It's just like the big dirty blackheads, but they happen to, like, get a scalpel in there. And
I don't really hide watching that stuff. I watch, like, medical stuff. I hide, or like gory stuff. I'm pretty. I nearly fainted when I cut the corner of my finger off with a cheese knife.
I think we should do a video one day of you watching one of these videos, and then everyone can see.
Maybe, yeah. I think we should, like, talk through an argument in one episode.
What do you mean?
Like
record an argument and then narrate it? like the commentary, like you got on DVD bonuses?
I hadn't really thought that, but just meant, like...
Play by play?
No, just kind of, like, discuss something maybe that's been bothering us and, like, just do it on the podcast so people can hear our dialogue. And it'd be interesting because we'd have to control ourselves a little bit more, but that might actually be a good exercise for us.
Maybe.
I think we'd have to put some thought into it, but it could be interesting. And, like, you know, we talk so much about communication.
We had an email today from someone who was asking, well, basically saying how they now live together and they're in the early days of living together, which is always tough. And they, in the same way we do, respond very differently to arguments. So she gets anxiety and needs to talk about it, and she'll keep wanting to talk about it to a resolution. And he goes quiet, and then he'll just get over it. And so kind of, that's really similar to how
kind of we are.
So I'm sure they're not alone in thinking, you know, we did the episode in having about how our arguments can be healthy. And I'm sure people who have arguments, which is probably everyone, thinking, you know, how can you be more constructive? How do you avoid the argument? And we always talk about changing tone, changing phrasing, and little things that over time you learn, if I say it that way, it's probably going to really piss you off. And if I say it that way, it's a bit nicer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe if we did do it on the podcast, people would kind of see our approach to it in real time.
Yeah, and that all these things are not foolproof either, you know, because we still argue. Yeah, and like, things rub each other the wrong way, even when you're not trying to. You just say an offhand comment.
Well, and then a lot of it is, a lot of it's recognizing the other person. You know, the couple that messaged, both of them have to try and relate to the other person, think why they act and react that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's us doing that is what I think has been the biggest help. It's having that little bit of empathy and then think, okay, because then you can have, look, I know why you're feeling this way and this is why it's not, this is how we'll fix it.
Whatever. Yeah. You know. I mean, I've mentioned it before. I think I've mentioned the podcast. I've certainly said it in life. But, you know, especially those early days, I mean, moving into a new place, even on your own, takes settling in. But moving in with someone else that you haven't lived before, there's definitely a settling in period, and it can be a real challenge. And, you know, when you're having those intense arguments, which I think you only get when you're living together, because you're just in each other's space.
And,
can I finish? I was just going to say, like, it can make you feel crazy because this person always thinks you're wrong. And it's like, can I always be wrong? Am I crazy? They seem to think I am. And that can be really damaging and just a real struggle.
But I think it's especially hard when it's your first time living away from home.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, so for me, I'd left home. I'd lived at uni for 3 years. Like, I went back home afterwards, but I hadn't had that 3 years experience. And then other people have lived completely on their own, or they've done a flat share with friends, have roommates, whatever. But then you get the people who don't, and they've lived at home forever, and then they move in with their partner.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're learning, you're away from your safety net. Potentially you've had certain things at home done for you. You know, maybe you weren't doing your own washing, or you weren't cooking your own meals or whatever, or you probably weren't in charge of all the household finances and doing the shopping for everyone and things like that, and paying, you know, worrying about the insurance. And it's things like that that you don't think about as being in a relationship, and then you start living on your own or living with someone.
Yeah, probably.
And suddenly, so it's not just the bedding in period with that person and the freedom that you get. It's also the adult responsibilities that are thrown on you and you don't think about, and then suddenly you have to deal with them, and then you're thinking, fuck, this is costing more money than we'd thought about, or I hadn't been prepared for this. Especially like for us, like this time of year, all the emails come through, all the fucking insurance is due.
Apart from our cars, yeah.
Yeah, but like...
boiler insurance.
Like everything, like all the payments need renewing, and then, you know, so then it's like, okay, I've got to take the time to...
And they all go up, of course.
They all go up, so you've got to take the time to find quotes or to call them and try and get reductions, and, you know, so there's stress on that.
There is, and I think, yeah, it's really hard. So it's not only are you trying to figure this out, you're figuring out with someone else's emotions, who's getting stressed out about it, you're trying to control your own, you know, kind of emotions about it and figure it out, and you've got to navigate it with someone else who maybe hasn't done it before. And it's another
agreement to me. You've got to agree on, do we want that insurance because it's cheaper, or, well, that one offers us this extra protection, or is it more expensive because it's better, or is it more expensive because it's just more expensive? You've got to agree on that. So whether one of you says, you're in charge of that, and I'm completely happy to take a backseat on it, other couples are going to be, I need to know everything,
which,
and both of them are fair enough, whatever, but... You know, I don't think many couples say, let's move in together. Before we do, how are we going to handle this? And include things like insurance and bills and tax and, you know, your property tax and everything. In that conversation, it is thrust upon you when you live in it.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to it's hard. There's always something, especially when you've moved in together. And I think coming from long distance where and I really struggle with this, like, every visit is like a celebration. It's basically a vacation. You know, you're getting away from the real world. You're wrapped up in each other. There is nothing else that you focus on but each other during those times. And then suddenly it's real life. And it's like, well, this isn't as glamorous as I thought it was. You know, it's different. It's everyday life, but with you in it, which is lovely.
Mm.
But it does take...
But it is everyday life.
There's that shine is gone. And I really struggle with that. Like, when I came here for that first summer to be with you, we had nothing to think about like that. The only thing I had to figure out was finding an affordable ticket to get, you know, when I changed my flights and stuff, decided I didn't want to go back at the time I originally had, and then came back at Christmas, and that was wonderful. And then you came back to America with me, and I went back to work, and it was like, oh, this kind of sucks, like, compared to that dreamy vacation land that we lived in when we were together. So it is a struggle, and I think I really love Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert, and he was talking about, like, how he and his wife, everyone, like, oh, they say how, like, kind of celebrity couple goals and everyone thinks they're so cute. He's like, it takes a lot of work, and like, you don't wake up always in the morning wanting to be in a great mood with each other. You know, some things just happen and you have to work through that.
Linking back to last week when we talked about mystery, you know, those celebrity couples and these beautiful people, they wake up with bad breath and they wake up and fart in bed and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's no, they're still people. You just know who they are from a distance.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are. Your relationship's going to be work. And if you don't do the work, it's going to end.
And I don't think there's any way out of that. Like, even if you're one of these people that's got enough money to say, you have an assistant who sorts all that out for you, or you have a nanny who helps with the kids. No matter how much you offload, there's still going to be that you've still got the core basic fundamentals that are on you all the time.
There's pressures everywhere. That was depressing.
I don't think that was depressing. That's free wisdom.
It is.
Think about your insurance.
In other news, podcast is 6 months old now.
Yeah.
Episode 26, that's half of 20.
Feel free to send us presents and
for our half birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, presents would be good.
What do you want, like £1 million?
That'd be pretty good too.
Okay.
Something gold.
Like a bar? Like a gold bar?
Like a gold swan, maybe.
How big? Like a life size?
Well,
where the fuck are we going to put that?
No, more like an ornament size, like a table ornament.
We haven't got a table.
We don't have a table.
Well, it's a fold-away table,
but we have got a table that's out, though. We have tables all over the house.
Oh, you mean like a little side table?
I just said
well, people table. Need to know how big. I mean, we could have a 6-foot swan turn up.
Do you think people are going to be fighting over who gets to send us a golden swan?
We could start a GoFundMe and everyone just chip in $5. A golden swan. And we'll get a gold swan.
Five, whatever your currency is. So, topic for today is
cheating. How did we come onto this topic?
So it's not cheating. We've done an episode about infidelity. This is more about when people
have
are.
We?
Yeah.
No, we've touched on infidelity.
Yeah, we had an entire infidelity episode.
Did we?
Infidelity in relationships. It's called.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100% sure.
Huh. Okay.
Glad to know you're.
Well, we've been doing this for 6 months. So I can't remember all of them.
You can't remember anything. And so we wanted to talk about kind of suspicions about cheating, not like if someone is or why people do. If you want to hear more about that, yes, I guess you're learning for the first time, just like my husband, that there is an episode on that.
Is that the one we spoke about Ashley Madison?
No, I think that was more recent. This is a while back. I think it was this year. I think it was 2019, maybe at the end of last year. But yeah, this came up, I think someone had asked kind of about the insecurities that come with long distance and how there's really no way for you to know, particularly, I mean, we're not going to only talk about it from a long distance perspective, but that probably will be a lot of it. Because, you know, you're not there, you can't see what someone's doing, you can't check their phone, not that you really should.
Well, so I think there's two angles of this then. I think long distance is more likely to be certain paranoia. Now, obviously, the person can have behaviours that make you worry, obviously. But putting that to one side, there's a greater propensity, I think, when you're long distance for your own anxieties to start thinking, what are they doing? Who are they having fun with tonight?
You know, why are they not answering?
Whereas in person, you're probably thinking more about this behaviour is unusual. They're staying longer at work. They're
on their phone more.
They're on their phone more, they're out more, their behaviour's different to you, they're buying you presents when they didn't used to, or they're, oh, I've got to stay at my secretary's tonight. Oh, you know, what are you smiling at? Have I bought you presents lately?
No, we had a period where I wasn't, like, afraid and anxious about it, but I actually thought, like, I actually kind of wondered, I don't want to say I wondered, but the thought occurred to me more than once during a specific period of time. And it was when the fucking It movie was coming out.
Yeah, I was
admin on that. You became a moderator or admin on this, like, was it a Facebook group?
Yeah, but this group had 30,000 people. Yeah. And a lot of them were dickheads. So, like, the moderators were really busy.
But it was like, you were just completely absorbed. Like, you're on your phone a lot. Like, you have a pool game. You know, you do some social media. Snooker, whatever. You know, I mean, you're pretty active on your phone. I am too. But you were like, you would not put it down. You'd be like, it was constant, and you were typing furiously. And I'd kind of be like, what are you doing? Like, oh, just messaging someone. Last thing, you would never say, like, oh, there's some dickheads doing this in this group, and I've got to tell, or look at what he's saying. You were just absorbed. And I actually, like, it went on for weeks, and I finally went, like, you're on your phone a lot. Like, are you talking to someone? Like, should I be concerned about anything? You're like, what do you mean? I was like, well, like, you're on your phone so much, I'm worried you're talking, like, you have a relationship. That's how much you were putting into it. And you're like, no, and he told me, and it was fine. So
that was a behaviour thing.
Yeah, your behaviour.
So if that had been long distance, you wouldn't have observed it. But if you're living with someone and you're able to see, so I think suspicions around cheating, I think we should cover both in this episode.
Yeah,
that's
what I said.
Yeah, but you said we'd probably be more weighted towards long distance, and I think we should put a bit more weight into non-long distance. Because I think that the signals are different.
Okay.
And potentially, without offending anyone, potentially, if you're suspicious of someone in person, potentially that's more justified. If it's based on behaviour, whereas if it's long distance and it's not behaviour, it's just, oh, they're out tonight and I'm worried they're going to cheat. That's different to, oh, you know, you always answer me really quick and then you haven't for the past week. And if they're acting different, that's fine. But I mean, if it's purely based on your concerns and not anything they've done, then I think it's a bit different.
Yeah, but I think it ties back into... I want to look at this from a number of ways. Like, obviously, yeah, like, being suspicious and if there's behavior. But also the anxiety and insecurity that people can have that makes them see the suspicion everywhere. You know, like we talked about in the porn episode a lot about how your own insecurities can really damage your relationship. So if your partner's looking at porn and you decide it's toxic, that could come from a place of your own insecurities about it. Why do they need to look at someone else, etc.
Right.
But the first kind of light I want to shed is how... Yeah, maybe they don't come back to you as soon as you want when you're in a long-distance relationship. And it's very easy to start jumping to conclusions for why they're not doing that. And yeah, if their behavior changes and normally they come back to you straight away and one day they don't, they could be busy. Someone could have died. Like, you know, things can happen. And I think
on that point, though, like, when you're long-distance, you not hearing back from could be anything from, I've lost my phone.
Yeah.
You know, or there's a power... Like, if we have a power outage... And the Wi-Fi goes down, but we also lose phone signal. So, okay, yeah. We live together, it's no big deal, but that's completely outside of your control.
And that can be for hours.
Yeah. Didn't I hear, like, Puerto Rico was, like, a year without power after the hurricane?
I don't know.
So if anyone in a long-distance relationship there, you're going to be fucking out of your mind with concern.
I hadn't heard that.
I could be wrong, but I thought that's what I'd heard.
Yeah, I think it's really important to think about your suspicions, whether that's...
like, think how much is coming from you and how much reason are they giving you to feel
because
that way.
I think if you're going to actually accuse someone of cheating, that's big. Like, it was one thing for me to say to him, like, look, you're on your phone a lot more, which is a behavior that can be concerning. Like, should I be worried? I wasn't saying, are you cheating on me?
No, you didn't accuse me. And I think, you know, we're talking as if the person listening is the person who's concerned, but I think there's a flip side to this, which is if you're being accused and you've done nothing and you've tried to have the conversation, like, that's difficult. Like, I think if you're being accused of something with no justification and you clarify it and it all goes away, then that's one thing. But if it doesn't, and you, I think, be on the lookout for red flags in your partner is what I'm trying to say. Like, if it's someone who's just always accusing you and you can't talk, like, I have no problem with you talking to men and you have no problem with me talking to women. We work with them and we talk to them outside of work, like, and there's no concern in our relationship. We're very comfortable and secure. But there are people where that's not the case, and if I text a girl from work, you're okay with that. But there are people out there who say, you're not allowed to talk to people of the opposite sex. So if, you know, I just think, really, be on the lookout for those red flags. Because if you're with someone who's just being unreasonable and they can't get past that, and they're going to, you know, that's a burden on your life that I don't think anyone really needs.
No, and it's going to...
You need... Trust is... the most important thing.
Yeah, it's a controlling thing.
If you've broken that trust, then you have to deal with the consequence, which is going to be you're under a microscope for a long time and you've got to rebuild that trust. And if you haven't done anything wrong and they just don't like you talking to someone of the opposite sex, that's a problem.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to mention kind of along these lines is some people do have trust issues in relationships because they've been cheated on before.
Yeah.
And that is a really hard path for a new partner to walk, because immediately from the get-go, they're on the back foot and everything they're doing is being analyzed. And, you know, like, especially if it's the very next relationship after the person's been cheated on. And I think that can be really, really hard, because obviously the person who's been hurt and cheated on is validated in feeling that way. Yeah. And of course they're going to be more suspicious, but this new person has done nothing wrong. And, you know, I think it's difficult. We shouldn't expect people to have to prove anything against how you've been treated before. Obviously people should prove to you that they're trustworthy, you know, in any situation, whether it's romantic or friendly or work relationship, whatever. But if you push someone too hard on that, it could be a problem. You know, obviously reassure, you know, and you have to make sure that you're willing to get into that kind of relationship, knowing someone's been damaged like that.
And I think a relationship, like, I think be wary of going from relationship hopping, like this one's ended and I'm going to go immediately into that one. I think the best relationships are when you don't need it. Like,
Are you not expecting it or looking for it?
If you're, maybe that, but if you're the kind of person who, you know, people say, oh, you know, you find yourself, you've got to be comfortable living, enjoying your own company, all this kind of thing, then a relationship's an enhancement. Mm-hmm. Like, you being in my life is an enhancement to me. If you hadn't come into it, I wouldn't be wallowing in despair. Yes, if you're someone who you feel like you've got a purpose, or you know what you want to do, and you're quite productive, and you're just generally quite happy, the relationship's in a choice, and it's your choice whether you stay in that relationship or you think, do you know what, this is no longer enhancing things, and I'm out, amicably and respectfully. But it means if someone is 24/7 chewing you out for things you haven't done and have no intentions of doing, you don't feel like, oh, I've got to be in this relationship because I'm not going to find anyone else, and I'm not worthy of happiness. All those kind of negative feelings. If you say, I am worthy and I haven't done anything to cause this, and do you know what? Fuck spending the next 50 years of my life with this in my ear. You hold all the power there. And not in a... I don't mean that in a dictatorial way of authority, but it's, you owe it to yourself and you're there on your terms. And I think that's important. Like, and I think that makes you a better relationship. I think, like, I have more respect for you knowing that you're here through choice, not because you just feel like you couldn't cope without me, you know?
Well, I mean...
you have, like, your...
Our time apart was really hard on me.
Yeah, but that wasn't because you needed a man in your life to take care of you and stuff. You are an independent woman. You have your own job. You earn your own money. You drive your own car. You can make your own phone calls to do things like your car insurance. You know, you're not incapable.
Jesus Christ. Are you getting paid by Compare the Market or something?
No, but it's on my mind because I've just been doing it all. But that's what I mean. You're not dependent. Oh, fine, we share our finances, but you're not here because you're incapable of being on your own. And I know that... I know, basically, if I was to start treating you like shit, you'd walk away. You know, you're here through choice. But there are a lot of people who... don't.
Put up with it, yeah.
And they'll put up with it. They'll think, I can't find anyone else. I'm too old to find someone else. Or you start romanticising the relationship you have. I think a lot of people really think about what they want their partner to be, or the ideal of their partner, rather than the reality of it.
And
I just think, be quite comfortable with yourself. So you've got the power and the knowledge in your mind that says, I'm here because I want to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I remember having friends, you know, like in college and as young adults who, like, just constantly, I mean, it's hard because if you're only hearing one side of the story from your friends, you're only hearing their side of it. But it was just like the things that the douchebags they were with would do and say, and they just stayed with them. And everyone always kind of made fun of me, and even you still did, like how quickly I would be like, nah, this isn't for me, I'm out, I'm done. And I was very quick to not judge, but kind of...
like, know your worth, I think.
Yeah, well, I was just... or just, like, not even my worth, but just, this isn't what I want. Like, this isn't doing it for me. I'm not crazy about this. I don't like that you did that. And it was early enough in that I thought, well, I'm not that invested into you. That's a big enough deal to be a deal breaker right now. And you talked about, like, having it, you know, when you don't need it, that's when it's the best. And, like, obviously, you know, we had our history and stuff. And I remember... after things didn't work out with us the first time, I was like desperate to meet someone. I think I wanted to forget about you. I was frustrated that, you know, it didn't work out. And like, I just really wanted to meet someone and be happy because I'd been single for a very long time and nothing ever happened. I met a few people, had a couple first dates, like nothing happened. And then I started my first job teaching and I was just consumed with it because it was such a big deal to figure it out. teaching is such a shock, you know, when you get put into a classroom for the first time, you're not prepared. And I was just trying to get through that, and I wasn't thinking about guys at all. And then a message from you came out of the blue, and it was like, okay, well, I want to explore this again. And, you know, you can't, it's like when you're not looking for it and it's not the number one thing on your mind, it's going to be more valuable.
That's always the way it's going to say. If you've got a job, it's easier to find a job. Like, I think there's something you project, like, I need this. And, like, we're both fans of Terry Crews and, like, his interviews and stuff. Mm. And I think it was the podcast he did with Tim Ferriss. There's, like, a 3-hour podcast. It was, like, a really, really good interview. But he was saying, like, all of his relationships, like, family and friends... He said it works both ways, but everyone in his life has to be there because they want to be there. So he's not going to persuade anyone. He's not going to chase them. He's like, if you want to be in my life, that's cool. You're welcome. And it works both ways. Like, you have to let me go. So everyone knows where they are in that situation of, like, he knows the people around him aren't there because he's who he is. And they know that he's not with them because there's independency. You're here because I'm offering some value that, you appreciate.
Yeah. And I know, like, I remember talking to my sister. So my sister's been married for, God, 16 or 17 years, probably. She's much older than me. Not much, but...
How old was she when she got married?
Early 25.
So our age?
Yeah, but she's 10 years older than me. So when Rich and I were apart, you know, like, I went through a really difficult time, and I just couldn't cope with the distance, and it was really fucking with my head. And I was visiting my sister staying for the weekend, and she and I went to a Tom Petty concert. And it's something, you know, our whole family loves Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And it was something we'd always wanted to do together. It was my first time seeing them. It was a really exciting night, but I just couldn't stop talking on the way to the Hollywood Bowl from her house about, like, how upset I was and how I didn't know if this was going to work out between us and how the distance was so hard and blah, blah, blah. And I remember she said to me, she's like, you just have to know that, like, you'll be okay if it ends. Like, she's like, if there's anything you're good at, Andrea, it's breaking up. But that I was good at breaking up if I wanted to break up. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I decided, yeah, this isn't for me, I was good at it. But I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want it to end. And I remember her saying, she's like, look, I know that if something happened with me and my husband and it didn't work out or something happened, I would be fine as long as my child was fine, kind of thing. And it's like, that's knowing your worth and knowing really what you can live without and what you can't. And...
Well, I think it also shows, you know, that you... Like, again, it comes back to the dependency thing. She knows, I'm not going to end up on the streets and destitute. Like, you know, and it's like you. Like I said, you have a job. You earn your own money. You're not with me because you're dependent on me.
Yeah.
You know? So... Yeah, and we've had that conversation before. Like, you know, if anything happened to us, we'd both be okay. Like, if we split up, yeah, it would suck and all the emotional stuff of it, but we would be okay.
Eventually you would, yeah.
But, okay, so let's come back to the cheating thing.
Yeah, I think we're just talking about valuing yourself and...
Yeah, so this was the point of view of if you are being accused of cheating, then think, you know, you need to be there for the right reasons. And if you you suspect them of cheating, or if they are cheating, then you have to decide, do I want to be... Because I don't think all infidelity is unforgivable. I think But, so you, if you know they're cheating on you, or you've got really strong suspicions, the question you need to answer is, do I want to still make a go of this? And the answer for that needs to be predicated on... knowing that you're good, you know, don't say I need to make this work because I have to be with them because I can't cope without them. It needs to be, I'll be fine either way, but does the relationship mean enough to me that I think is worth continuing?
Yeah, but if you do have that suspicion, you need to really do some soul searching and maybe get an external, like, biased, non-biased opinion, not a friend, not a family member. Because, like I said, once you make that accusation,
it's out there.
You can't take it back.
Yeah.
And particularly if the person isn't actually cheating, you know, that depending on what the situation is and how it's expressed, you know, it could be irreparable damage, basically. So if you get to a point where you think, I have got to talk to them about this, before you accuse, you need to talk to them about it. Like I did, like, hey, look, I'm noticing some different behaviors in you. is there anything I should be worried about? I mean, because, yeah, maybe they are acting weird. Maybe you're totally right in suspecting something, but it may not be cheating. It could be that...
There's pressure at work.
That, yeah, their job is about to slip through the cracks and they don't want to tell you, and they don't want to worry you. It could be that they're going through depression. It could be family problems. You know, maybe they don't want... There's something they're not ready to tell you, or maybe they're just having doubts about their relationship.
So are you jumping to the conclusion of cheating because of your insecurity?
Yeah.
You know?
So I think the first thing you need to do is just say, look, I'm noticing that you're doing this, and this, which is very different. It's worrying me. Is there anything I need to know? And I think you can judge pretty well on their reaction. It might be like, yeah, you know, I want to talk to you about something. I don't know how. It might be like, what are you implying? What do you know? And that maybe is a bit more of a suspicious reaction. Or, oh yeah, you know what? I've actually just been really stressed. I'm sorry. You know, you just need to get that communication going and dialogue. And then you'll, based on that conversation, you'll have a lot more information. Now, it may be that you know. Maybe.
Yeah, if you find a condom wrapper in their pocket.
Or someone phones the house, ask, you know, there's some really glaringly obvious things. And then I think at that point, still be respectful. Just, you know, I always want to give people a slight benefit of the doubt, but also kind of guard myself just in case I'm right. But, you know, like, look, this showed up at the house today. Please explain yourself, because I don't want this to be what I think it is, but I think it is, kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, they're tough waters to navigate, but you just need to be ready to protect yourself. Know what you're going to do if it is true, or at least think about it. I mean, you have to talk about it with them.
And I think if they are, like, I know there are a lot of people who would say, one strike and you're out, and I don't care what the reasons or whatever. I'm more in the camp of everyone has a reason. Now, the reason may just be that they don't give a fuck and they've got no respect, and in which case you're probably better off without them. But there are many other reasons. It could, you know, momentary weakness, or... And I think, you know, I think potentially that if you've been cheated on, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask yourself, if not your partner, have I done anything that could have been a factor in this? I don't mean have I driven them to it, because I think it's still on them that they did it, but have I been so awful that I've made their life that miserable that they need, you know, have I deprived them of sex for 2 years and they had no choice sexually to go elsewhere? Like, is there anything? Because I don't think it's all equal and comparable. But I know everyone would agree with that. But
yeah, but I think we're getting a little bit ahead. Like, it is more about those suspicions, I think, that...
But even if you've got suspicions, if you've got suspicions they're not confirmed and not doing it, you can still ask a bit of soul-searching of, am I doing everything I can do in this relationship? Because
it's always good to think about that.
It's a two-way thing, and it's... Yeah, I don't want, you know, I don't mean to do any victim blaming. If you've been cheated on, then that's not good. But I just think, yeah, like I said, it's always good to say, am I making this relationship as pleasurable for them as I'm expecting them to make it for me?
And that's not even just big stuff. That's not, am I buying them enough stuff? Am I surprising them enough? Or am I giving them enough sex? It's, do I respond to them in the way that they deserve to be responded to? Am I respectful? Do I, you know, everyone has moments where they're snappy, but am I doing it too much, you know? Yeah, it's always good to evaluate that kind of stuff and do some self-examination. But I think it really needs to come down to, are these suspicions warranted? And if that's, like we said, oh, they just haven't answered quickly enough. Or, you know, it can be paranoia, you know, on your part.
Well, I think...
Not that it is, but it can
be. But I think
be.
Especially long distance, like you said before. So it's, if you're long distance, especially, you know, we were different time zones. So it's...
Mm-hmm.
But people have their own lives. So, you know, chances are, if you're long distance, at some point or other, they're going to be out with friends. They're going to be out on a night out. They might be going to a concert. They might be going to see some comedy. They might just be at a party. Like we said, they're going to have co-workers or colleagues or fellow students of the opposite sex who are in their social circle. There's ample opportunity in it. And are they actually doing anything? Or are you maybe jealous? Like, oh, I'm stuck at home with nothing to do because I'm studying, or I've got to work, or whatever, and they're out, and, oh, that girl's kind of pretty, or that guy works out a lot, you know, physically there's attraction, and is it your jealousy that you're projecting? Is it your insecurity? Or are they always talking about this one person in particular and thinking, that name's come up a lot?
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
But, and also, if, for instance, if you are the person who's going to be going out and doing stuff, and if you know this makes, it's hard not for that to make a long-distance partner jealous, because they're not there, they don't know, they hear these people's names, but they don't know what your interaction's like. Like, you have a long-time friend that you went to uni with and lived with, and I've heard her name a lot, and I've met her, and, like, sometimes you'll go see her in Canterbury and hang out with her one-on-one, and I don't have a problem with that, and I never have. But if I hadn't met her and seen the two of you together and known that there is literally nothing beyond a platonic friendship, then it'd be so easy and understandable to get worried about it. So if you know that this person doesn't know, your partner doesn't know what your relationships are with maybe friends of the opposite sex, and you're going to be out in a group setting, you need to do what you can to reassure them. So yeah, they shouldn't just automatically assume that you're going to be cheating, but like everything, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, you should know, offer some reassurance. Yeah, it's going to make your life easier to just text every now and then.
So for instance, for those of you who've listened to our story, you know that after things didn't work out for us the first time, Rich had a girlfriend for quite a while, off and on in college, uni. And right after we started talking again was your graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
And you were going to be going to Canterbury for a few days. And at the time, like, I think 3G was just brand new. And you, like, when you went to that town, you had no signal. And, like, we couldn't talk for a few days when you went away. And that always bothered me. Just because, well, you don't like to not be able to talk at all. But, and you told me, like, just so you know, like, I want to be honest with you. My ex is going to be at this ceremony. We are going to be staying at a friend's house. Not in the same room, but we are going to be staying in the same house together. And I had questions. And that was a weird time because we weren't, like, actually properly together. But you obviously thought us together enough to mention it to me and respected that you knew it was going to upset me and you wanted to be honest. And that was something that, I mean, yeah, maybe ignorance would have been bliss. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. But it meant so much to me that you shared that with me, you were honest, and when I questioned it in terms of, like, is there a way around this, can you stay somewhere else, like, what you answered everything you could, as honest as you could. And yeah, the whole time you were away, I was nervous.
And I think people can tell sincerity too, but I just want to pick up something you meant, like, that friendship I've got with the old flatmate.
Yeah.
So I think there's a very common belief that men and women can't just be friends. And I think anyone who believes that is going to have a real hard time.
Yeah.
Especially, like you said, where it's a one-on-one situation. But the situation with that friend in particular was, like you said, we were flatmates for 3 years. So we were flatmates while I was in a relationship with someone else, and she was with someone else. Like, there was never, like, it's like, oh yeah, we had a fling.
And she's just not your type at all either. Like,
No. So, But the point is, if you're someone who just thinks, men and women are always, they're only going to be communicating if, one, they have to, like, at work, or they want to fuck each other.
Mm-hmm.
They can't possibly want to be friends. If you believe that and you subscribe to that, of course you're going to have real issue with your partner talking to people of the opposite sex. I don't believe it. I know it's not true because I have female friends and you have male friends and I'm pretty sure you're not just sucking them off at every opportunity.
Disgusting,
like,
don't say that shit.
But it's true, you know, like, we, every day, men and women are friends with...
Yeah. Like, my best friend at work is a guy. And we've gone out for coffee after work and talked about stuff and go out at lunch to go grab something to eat. You know, like, he's like a brother. Like, genuinely like a brother.
I think my team is, like...
Mainly women, isn't it?
Yeah, we're massively outnumbered by
men. Well, my office is mainly men. There's a few women, you know,
maybe
so...
Maybe we should swap.
No, I prefer working with men. You're much more easy than women. So yeah, I mean, there is a thing of you need to be reassuring to your partner. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, when you're in long distance, expressing, look, I'm really worried, you know, we're apart, the temptation to cheat might come up. That's a good conversation to have, you know, because that's not accusing, but it's saying, look, this is hard, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not saying I'm suspecting you of anything, but...
Especially where there's going to be drinking.
Not even that. Just, you know, I'm not there. And people get horny and you miss the person and you want to have sex with them and you can't. And, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility to think that they might, you know, fall victim to temptation.
People make mistakes.
So I think, especially in long distance, it's understandable that people would get a little bit paranoid about that. But you just have to talk about it and...
Well, and maybe on that point, cheating can mean different things.
It can
range. Like, we're talking about cheating, like, it means full-on sex, but no one's going to be happy if you say, oh, yeah, I kissed that person.
No.
Or...
I'm falling for something. You know, whatever.
Well, yeah,
emotional
just,
cheating.
Or just things got out of hand and... You know, spin the bottle or whatever, but you end up touching someone's boob over their top. Like, it doesn't have to be all the way.
No.
And those smaller indiscretions, so to speak, are more likely to happen. And I suppose, you know, the severity of things up to you, how you take them. But, yeah, anything can happen.
Can, yeah, whether it will or should or whatever, you know, varies, I think. But, you know, there is a certain amount of trust you have to put in someone, like I did when I knew you were going to go and see your partner, or sorry, your friends and your ex-partner was there. Obviously, the fact that you gave me that information helped me trust you more. You didn't have to say that, really. You didn't have to say she was going to be there, even though you had 100% intentions of not doing anything. Like, you know, you wouldn't have had to say anything. You wouldn't have been lying to me necessarily. But yeah, I think you always need to question, is the suspicion real? And that's a hard thing to ask yourself because you're obviously thinking it. So, like I said, you need to maybe talk to someone outside the situation, not a friend, you know, because sometimes your friends can, oh, he's a dick or she's a bitch. I don't like, you know, and who knows? And also they only have your side of the story. So it's good to, you know, to know, like, even, like, go on Reddit. I mean, there's relationship threads there. And obviously you can get a lot of different opinions. But if you're in therapy already, you know, mention it to your therapist or something like that, you know.
And be careful who you talk to because I think you mentioned this earlier. If you go and talk to your friends, it takes a rare and very good friend to be brutally honest with friends. So,
and also not form a judgment.
Well, so most friends will reinforce and they won't say, well, you know, actually you've got a tendency to overreact, or well, it doesn't sound like they've done anything wrong, or they'll just be kind of non-committal. I don't think everyone has in their social circle someone who will say, you know, who will call you out on it. I think most people would say, oh, yeah, fuck them. Oh, yeah, they must be. Well, if you think
or
so,
no,
then it
no,
must be
no,
true.
No, don't be crazy. No one would cheat on you. You know, like...
Yeah, you're perfect. Yeah. Or if he's cheating on you, then... Or she's cheating on you, then they're not worth it. And immediately dump them and... You need... If not someone fully objective, you need someone who can be a bit more balanced in their opinion.
Yeah. And I also think...
And ask their friends. If you're friends with their friends, and then they might say, oh, yeah, he has been acting kind of different, or... Yeah, she did kind of mention, well, there is this one person.
You need to be a bit careful with that, though, because it could come across as, you know, that's going to get back to them.
Be careful, phrase it, but just don't say, is he cheating? But just say, is it me, or is, like, is she spending a lot of time with David lately?
Mm.
You know, and they might say, oh, yeah, they're working on this thing together. They might be like, and again, if they know and they're not coming out with it, like I said before, you can tell sincerities. If they start to cover for them, that's often pretty obvious.
Yeah. I think, obviously you need to get a second opinion that's not invested like you are. But I can't stress enough how important introspection is. And not just because of this aspect. But, you know, they always like, oh, how can you love someone if you don't love yourself? I mean, it's along those lines. Like, if you don't know yourself and you're not in control of who you are, but in touch with... Oh, I recognize this about myself. When people do this, this affects me in this way. It's an ongoing journey. You know, I think people work on it all their lives, or should. You know, you're never going to perfect it. You're never going to kind of reach complete self-actualization and stuff like that. But you need to be striving for it and reflecting on it. And it is your responsibility. Sometimes people can say things that will trigger you to look into it more. But you do need to be in a place... where you can ask yourself, and if you're not, maybe you're not in the place to be in a relationship, a mature relationship, but you need to be able to say, am I being stupid? I need to take a step back, make a list, write things down. Like, this is what's making me suspicious. Actually, no, that's bullshit. Yeah, he told me where he was and that made sense. Or, you know, or she said that. Okay. Or actually, you know what? Yeah, the more I'm writing this down, the more concerned I'm getting. And I need to have a conversation about this. But you have to take responsibility for your emotions and not be the victim. Oh, you're making me scared. You're doing this. You make, like, no.
Yeah.
You need to rein that in and be an adult about it.
But we, like, also find out what each of you are comfortable with. So we have an app. Now, this wasn't anything to do with suspicions of cheating, but we have a tracker app on each other's phones. So,
it started because
everyone at work who knows it, everyone has ever found out we've got it is like, that's kind of weird. Yeah. Like, but then I've got people at work now who are like, oh, because of you, yeah, my family's got this and it's great.
It all started because I started driving here in this country.
No, it was when I got a job.
No, it was when I started driving. You were working at home at the time. It was because I think so. Yeah, it was because it's like if I break down and I get lost and I don't know how to explain to you where I am because I don't know this area because I'm not from here. You can find it and
you
find
always
me.
Told people it was because I started working because I used to work at home.
No, we had it already. But I remember I liked it then because that was around the time.
Oh, maybe you wanted me to let you know I got there. But yeah, so the idea of it was never we need to keep tabs on each other all the time. It was a safety thing. But it's quite handy. It means if you're late home from work, like not 5 minutes, but if you're not home within 20 minutes of when you normally are, I can think, oh, well, and I can say, oh, you gone to the store, or oh, there must be traffic there.
Or I know that if you're out doing something, I can check, has he left yet? Okay, I'll get dinner
I've got
started
this much
now.
Time. Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, Apple's got this built, I don't know about other phones, but Apple's got it built in with the Find My Friends feature.
Yep.
We use a different app, but talk to your partner. Like, if you're, again, if you've got nothing to hide, and not everyone's comfortable with it, you don't have to be, but it certainly takes it out of the equation of, are you where you say you are? Because you can see, like, well, what the fuck are you doing there?
But sometimes you'll surprise me with something and you'll
you
turn
can
it
log
off.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah
you'll turn it off.
So you have to have your excuses ready because I'm very aware of it. So if it's coming up to your birthday and I'm going to the mall, it can be pretty obvious what I'm doing, so I'll turn it off.
Like, I don't know.
And my family's on it, so I think, do you know, like, I don't want everyone asking why we're here today, so I'll turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not something that's secretly implanted. It's on
you
your
invite
phone.
Each other, yeah.
You invite each other, but you're in control of who sees what. You can pause it, you can log out, you can leave and join what they call circles on our app with whoever you want in it. So it's all completely within your control. But that may be worth a conversation.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, I think to me it really boils down to this, touching on what you said about being in touch with yourself, like, know your worth and be there because you want to be there. And I think people respond to that as well. Like, if you think, oh, do you know, this person is never going to leave me, they totally need me, they're fully dependent, I can do what the fuck I want and I know they'll still be there, compared to, if I piss about too much, they're going to go. And
it's
then
like
they think,
your job.
I don't want them to go. Yeah, like, if you know you can get away with anything you want at work and not get fired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, that's not true. I mean, maybe in some instances it is, and I guess in some relationships it is too, but realistically, you have to show up every day, you need to put the work in, you get the rewards from it, and if you stop doing that, or you do something wrong, then you lose it.
Well, there's something I've, like, there's this general thread of opinion, I suppose, that I've been sort of exposed to on Twitter recently, which is people saying you have to make sure that you're still the prize. Like, you're still trying to be the best you, and that makes the person still feel like you've made the right decision to be with that person. And we've mentioned things along these lines before. We've said, like, you know, people put all the effort in when they're dating, then they get married and go, oh, I can put weight on now, and I could be lazy now, we're married. Like, that's kind of still the beginning. Like, you still have to date, you still have to make the effort, you still have to surprise each other, and, you know, marriage isn't a full stop.
No.
So it's the same kind of thing. It's keep making effort, still keep growing, you know.
Which isn't to say, like, you'd be perfect all the time. That, you know, that,
no,
what,
be
some people could interpret that as
no,
perfect, what you said,
like,
last week. Like, let
yeah.
your hair down, be yourself, you're human, but don't just become stagnant or stop putting effort in life, you know?
Yeah. So it's keep learning, keep thinking, how can I be a better husband or wife or or parent if you've got kids, or how, what can I do to make our life better? What can I do to, if you make you better, you become more attractive, or at least not less attractive.
Well, you also
if you become the slob who's just always in the same spot on the couch with no motivation, wants to do nothing, what reason are you giving that person to stay?
But it's not just that. It's also your mood and your happiness shines through, and people are drawn to happy, vibrant people. And if you have let things go, you're not growing, you're not pursuing things, you have become, you know, a slob, for lack of a better word, you're not going to feel good and you're not going to be happy, and that's going to show. If you are continually trying things, I mean, you might fail, you might put on a bunch of weight, but as long as you're trying to better yourself, or you're trying to make healthy choices, you might lose a big job, but as long as you're, you know, we're not to say that life can't throw you battles, it's gonna, but you have to face that and keep trying, even if you consistently fail. You know, no one's saying you have to be a prize every second of every day and you can never
drop the ball.
It's a journey, and it's going to be up and down.
But, and it's like, I think it's important to remember that, one, no one owes you anything. Like, that person does not owe you their presence in a relationship. You don't think, well, hang on, we got married, you have to be here forever. They have to be there for as long as they want to be there, and as long as you keep making it worth their while to be there. So, and as you said, this doesn't mean every second every day. It means on balance. It means generally, it's worth their while. Like I said before, we enhance each other's lives in some way that makes it worth being there. And so going back to what I said before about if you suspect cheating, or they are cheating, then you can think, I've done pretty much as well as I could do and there's no reason for this and I want them out. It's very different to, actually, do you know, I spent 3 years like doing nothing and I've contributed nothing to this relationship, and do, you know, they do deserve better, then is it really a surprise they've gone looking?
But that's not to say that people deserve to be cheated on,
though. No. Of course, the person is still, but, and again, like, just because someone's cheating doesn't mean they don't love you. Like, it can be a difficult thing, I imagine, where you still love that person and you invest in the relationship and you want to keep going with them, but it doesn't mean that you don't need something else.
No.
But that doesn't mean cheating is the right thing to do. It means go and get counseling and talk.
Yeah, communicate or with each other. Say, like, I'm not happy. I've met someone and I really want to be with that person, and you've done nothing but make me unhappy.
Yeah, but that's love. Like, not all cheating is like that. No. Some cheating is just a release.
Yeah, I suppose. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm at a point where I'm wanting to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm going to. This is over. You know what I mean? Like, just because it's not love doesn't mean you can keep having sex and on the sly and the relationship keeps going. Like, if you're in a point where you want to be with someone else, whether that's romantically, sexually, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the honourable thing is to,
to say,
yeah,
hands up, I'm done, I'm out. Or it's going to go that way unless things change. You know, not just made them.
I think it can be more nuanced, but I just think, bear in mind, like, that, they don't owe you. Like, you're not trapped here now because we're married. You know, if I'm no longer giving you what you need for a long enough period of time where you think, I've put enough time into this and it's never going to get any better and actually it's getting worse, you're entitled to leave and do right by, you know, you have to do right by you first.
The hard thing about that, though, is it does go up and down.
I said on balance.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying it's hard. So people, you know, things might be really great and great and great for a while, and then for a while they gradually go downhill, and then there's shit. Like, even if you're not cheating, you know, nothing really that bad's going on, you're just not making each other that happy, like, that can go back on the up and up. Sometimes you guys aren't on the same page. We've had periods where, like, just driving each other crazy or just really not in sync with each other, and never have I thought, like, oh, this is it, it's going to end.
No, and I don't mean you do this, like, right, do you know what, Saturday, you were a twat, and I'm done. Like, marriage is a commitment, relationships are a commitment. I'm not suggesting, and hopefully not implying, that you don't give it time. And that time may be a period of years, but ultimately your commitment is to yourself. Like, your responsibility is to yourself. It's not, he's been winding me up for a month or whatever. It can be a significant bit of time. But I think you kind of know what's what in your relationship. But I think I think first step is to think, all right, this isn't going the way we wanted it to go. It's not going the way it used to go. What can we do? There are, nowadays it's easier than ever, like, you can reach out to people, you can talk to people like us who are here giving our opinions and advice on situations. There are counselors all over the place. There's books and webinars and resources and all sorts of things, resources available for people who are in a troublesome spot in their relationship or their marriage, with or without children, you know, there to help pull you back from that brink. Like, don't just think, right, I'm done. Marriage is a commitment. You have to put the effort in. And before you walk away, you have to think, okay, look, let's combine, think, what can we do here? And sometimes it costs money. If you're going to go for therapy or whatever, it can cost money. But I don't just mean throw in the towel and walk.
No, it's hard.
But there may come a point where you feel you have to. And I don't think... I think in years gone by, there was that view of, right, divorce is bad, you never get divorced. And you can spend your whole life in misery. I'm talking about when you get there. Like, you don't have to spend your life in misery. You be true to yourself. But before you get there... Yeah. Pursue your options.
Yeah, and it is ongoing because I think we've really got off topic, but it's interesting where we've ended up. You know, it is a commitment and it is hard. I remember saying, I'm going to try and find it, but I, on my personal account on Instagram years ago, I shared this thing about how marriage isn't always beautiful, and I'm going to try and share it. But it is a slog, you know, a fair amount of time, like getting your shit on the same page, trying to be together. And sometimes, like, you know, they just might be, you know, rubbing you the wrong way. Like, you've asked me, like, what's going on with you today? It's like, you've said a few things that have really annoyed me. That doesn't mean that I'm going to shout at you or berate you or whatever. Like, you're another person and we're on a different page sometimes.
Well, and there are times when someone may want space that coincides with the time when the other person wants company.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the other day you're like, oh, right, it didn't coincide with me wanting your company necessarily, but you're like, I've just got this new book and I'm really invested in reading it. Do you mind if I read it? And I was like, suits me. I want to watch this on TV anyway, yeah, or whatever. But there may be times when that conflicts. It's like, oh, I really want to read this book on my own. Are you okay? And it's like, oh, well, actually, I really want us to do this together.
Yeah. Well, like, I came home today and you were working on something and I just mentioned, like, oh, there's something I'd like you to do. And obviously, you know, like, you were quite invested in what you were doing. I didn't really know that. And maybe that's what affected something, the way you responded that you did. And, you know, it's timing, and it's, even if your tone isn't disrespectful, like, there's so many things, you know, people are so complicated. So many things can affect a response and stuff, and it can all happen a lot at the same time, and that can make you feel like, actually, do you know what, this has been kind of crappy lately, but you have to wait, because as long as no one is cheating or doing bad things, you will come back on the up and up again. Like, I've felt, like, multiple times in our relationship, there's been times when I thought, God, you know, we are on the same page right now. I'm getting so much fulfillment out of this relationship emotionally. And there's other times when I think, like, yeah, I love him. Things are fine. And I don't really have much else to say. Like, I'm not feeling like, oh, everything's perfect, but nothing's bad. And that's okay sometimes. Like, are we always, like, we're not one of those couples that gush on Facebook or anything like, oh, I'm so in love and everything's like, we don't do that. Like, no. We don't always feel that way.
But I personally just don't, I've never been a big fan of seeing that.
Mm.
I just think, I know you're in love, you're married or whatever. Like, because I've got nothing against it, but I think it's very easy nowadays to appear contrived. Like, oh, I love each other so much. It's like, like, what are you doing in real life to demonstrate it rather than telling all your Facebook friends about it? And,
yeah.
But just
that's not to say that just because you don't announce that stuff on Facebook that your relationship is great, you know? Like,
yeah, like, I just don't. It's one of the things people really care. Like, baby pictures. That baby's only cute when it's your baby. Or maybe your grandbaby or your niece or nephew. Cute, but
you don't want to see it constantly.
If it's someone else's baby outside of my family, I could not give a fuck. And I think, like, they all look the same. They're fat and squishy, and they've got blue eyes, and...
Not all babies have blue eyes.
Nah, most of them. I don't look at many. But, you know, it's just not interesting. So, and I think people view seeing a lot of relationships gushing. Obviously, it's not like, oh, it's our anniversary, it's Valentine's Day, or I just want to say this. But we've known people where it's damn near every day, like... And it's not
that
just...
That might be a bit of exaggeration, but yeah, it can be quite regular.
But just on the cheating thing, I saw this article today in the paper. Well, it was actually online, but you know. But it just got me thinking about how we always say communication is so important, because going on to reasons why people cheat, is it something that, well, okay, so the article, that basically there's like this therapy column, and the question was, I asked my wife to pee on me, and now she thinks I'm disgusting and gross and blah, 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 blah. And so...
That is pretty gross.
Well, the responses to it were quite more enlightened than your response, of things like, you know, look, some people are into that, and some things want to... Just because you've got a fancy about something doesn't mean that you want to do it necessarily, and it's fine to have the fancy. So, and bring the fancy into a relationship, if you, I'm assuming you... I don't know how you bring fantasy piss into a relationship, but, you know, people...
I think they call it golden showers.
Yeah.
It's a nicer way to say it.
But people do bring fantasies in, you know. But for that person in particular, if it means that much to them where... that partner's just shut that down. Is it something that means so much that he has to do it? In which case, he's going to go somewhere else because he has no choice but to go somewhere else. Or is it a conversation and they can say, oh, you know, I was just kind of curious about it and I thought I'd talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, cheating's not always about that person's more attractive than you or whatever else you've mentioned tonight. Maybe it's just, well, I really want to do that and they'd let me. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah.
And that's not justification for it, but...
I think a lot of people, possibly the majority of people's responses to that is like, yeah, it's gross. But, you know, if you were to come to me and say, like, how Brittany wants you to be on me, and I knew you were serious, we'd have to have a serious conversation about that.
If the conversation's going to come up and you think it's gross, at least he was asking her to pee on him. Like, hey, yeah. Can I pee on you?
Yeah.
You know.
I feel like you've asked to pee on me, like, in the shower as a joke or something.
Yeah, you got a real thing about peeing in the shower.
I'm not, like...
Everyone does it.
No, it's more about pee, like, being around pee in general.
Yeah, yeah.
It's warm, it's weird, like, I'm just not interested.
I'm not interested in a kinky way.
No, I know, and, like, nothing against people who are. You know, we all have things, just not at my street.
I draw the line at scat.
So you would pee?
Yeah, if you said to me pee on me, I'd be like, fine.
But what if I wanted to pee on you?
It depends where. Not on my face.
Your chest.
In bed?
No, we wouldn't do it in bed. I don't know where, but like...
I'd probably let you. I mean, I wouldn't enjoy it, but I'm like, okay, it's just pee, it's sterile, I can wash it off. No poop.
No, definitely not. Especially since I've got IBS. Yeah.
I'm just reminded of that movie 43.
Oh, God, he has, like, diarrhea all over. He has a burrito or something before.
Well, she wants him to... Yeah, she wants him to shit on her, right?
Yeah, and he's worried he's going to, like, be constipated and not do it, so he eats, like, a spicy burrito. And
then he gets hit by a car.
Oh, I forgot about that bit. It's such a weird movie. This has taken a dark turn.
I implore everyone to watch that movie.
I feel like this has been a really disorganized episode, but...
I'm sure there's just untold truths in here.
Yeah, like, don't ask for scat if... You've eaten a burrito.
But no, but on that topic, though, like where he said, you know, I'm interested, I think there are ways to respond to it. And one of the ways is, do you know what, like, I'm really not into that. How important is it? But the other way of saying it is ridicule and...
Shame. Yeah.
And then what... Then you're making them almost go repressed with that. And
they have to hide from you.
Yeah, and either they're going to try and find it elsewhere or they're just going to feel like they can't talk to you and none of that's good. So it's okay to not be into something and it's okay to say, I don't really want that as part of our sex life, but we need to talk about it. Can we do something else instead? Or how important is it to... Whatever, but...
Can I pour warm water on you?
Yeah, what if I put cider in the microwave?
And... Yeah. But yeah, I think... And you know what? Like, if you do react, like, in a... Wait, what? No, like... It's hard to, you know, if you feel, if it's something...
Well, it's one thing to have that immediate reaction, but then you can say, actually, I've thought about it. Yeah, I'm exactly. Sorry,
that's what I was
going to
say. Like, you know, I don't want to make you feel bad for anything you want. Like, unless, you know, obviously, unless you're going to be hurt in the act of something, then, you know.
Some people are into that.
Yeah, but, you know, if it makes you feel unsafe, you have 100% right to shut that down.
Yeah.
Again, try not to be horrible. But, yeah. But back to what we were meaning to talk about, I think be careful in your suspicions, make sure they're founded, and if you decide they are founded, don't launch into an accusation. Get the dialogue started, feel the waters out, You know, like, I don't know, would you urge people to do, like, investigations in terms of, like...
Maybe, because
looking on their phone, looking on their Facebook?
I think if someone is cheating, then it's not far removed from lying, because it's deception. So
what, cheating?
Yeah, yeah. I'd say so. But it's deception, but it's not necessarily lying.
Yeah. Okay.
So where I'm going with this is, if you say, hey, are you banging so-and-so, and then go, no... Then you've got no response to that other than, I think you are. Whereas if you have done some digging and you say, all right, well, look, I've got evidence A, B, C, and D, and you almost paint them to the corner where they have to come clean, then it's all done. You know, whereas if it's like, oh, I think you're sleeping with so-and-so, no, I'm not. Oh, okay, well, and then it's still on your mind and you're it's unfinished business.
Yeah, it can be a dangerous path to go down, because if you've got some maybe... more paranoid or unfounded suspicions, or even if, you know, the behavior's there and it's making you think that, but they're actually not doing anything, you can get obsessive about checking phones and things like that. And I mean, I've had friends who constantly check their partner's phone and go through Facebook, and like, I don't even know your fucking Facebook password. I've never known it.
We leave our phones lying around. I don't think you're going to be going through my phone if I'm in the shower. It never even crosses my mind to look at your phone.
No. Like,
I don't think I've ever heard you keep a secret anyway. Like,
my shit is secret.
Yeah, like, you
can barely keep birthday presents a secret.
Literally. Like, you'll say, like, oh, I'll put this present, do you know what it is? I'm like, no. Like, and then you'll go quiet and you go, please let me tell you.
I tend to plan far ahead as well with presents, because I like to save up and maybe buy a lot of things, so I do it over a period of time. So if I bought you something like 2 months before your birthday, it's fucking torture. But now that I'm getting older and I forget about things, I just put it in drawers. It's better. But, like, I bought you a Funko Pop Chucky toy.
Yeah.
And it said, like, oh, it's going to take, like, a month to arrive. I didn't realize it was, like, coming from China. And I messaged you and said, oh, I ordered you a little treat, a little surprise. And you're like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, do you want to know what it is? And like, no, surprise me. And then I realized it's going to be a month. And I was like, it's going to be a month. Can I just tell you? And then it showed up, like...
not that long.
It maybe took a week and a bit. And we were actually decorating the studio. We were wallpapering. I was like, what's this? And I wasn't expecting it. I was like, oh, your present's here. Like, in the middle of wallpapering. And I'm like, do you want to open it now?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, no, we'll wait. And I was like,
open it now.
Can I open it for you? It's just like, yeah, I can't hold a secret. I have serious guilt issues, and that's something that comes with anxiety.
Yeah, so like, it doesn't occur to me to think, oh, she's out of the room, read her messages or whatever. Like,
no, you just play, like, I don't know. It doesn't occur to me either. Like, your behavior is really consistent. Like I said, the one time it was very different for several weeks. Yeah, I got a little bit like...
And I suppose, like I said before, like, we're both here through choice. I suppose if you didn't want to be here, but like...
Are you though? Like, who else would put up with you?
I'm quite happy on my own. Like,
what are you talking about? You don't know where anything is in our kitchen.
Yeah, but if you weren't here, I'd put stuff where I wanted it.
Everything is where it goes. It's just
and you'd get half, so there'd be half the stuff, so there's less clutter.
I would just go, I'd take Alfie and go back to Alfie and have it all.
Fucking dog.
I want my pillow, I want Alfie. And
this, right, this, but we took a picture of this pillow on our Instagram. This is not a pillow, this is, it's flat. Right, it's like a rag, and it's got the same fucking green pillowcase.
Oh, I do change it.
Yeah, yeah, but like, it has two pillowcases.
That I rotate. Yeah. Well, because you have, like, two pillows.
There's no support from this.
I have... What do you mean support?
Like, you put your head on it. Support. You put your head on it and you may as well be on the floor.
I have to have two pillows underneath it. Right. This pillow... Okay. I'm kind of a hot mess. And when I was a little kid, I had serious...
You see who put up with me? Like, even with you and your fucking pillow that comes in tow.
It's endearing. Like, who's going to want to take a bath in someone's toenail clippings? Because...
I wash them away.
Yeah,
You've got a friend who does it where? In the kitchen or the bed?
No, he puts his socks on the table every night.
He cuts his toenails, like, in the bed or something grim.
That's not anything I remember. But so this pillow, I had really bad separation anxiety from my mom when I was little, and, like, going to school was a serious battle every day. And she had this really squishy, like, fluffy down pillow, and I liked it. And she probably had it for years. About 8 years old, she gave it to me because she was getting a new pillow, and she knew how much I liked it. And it's more like...
So this is a 25... Well, no, it's probably a 30-odd-year-old pillow.
No, it's probably, like, between... It's probably, like, 28 years old, probably. Maybe. I mean,
that's pretty good going for a pillow.
Yeah, there's not much left of it.
No.
But it's more of a... It's become more of a comfort thing. Like, it's
which
more...
Which is ironic, because it's not comfortable.
It is for me. Oh, I love it. But yeah, I have to say...
But you always went, like, if you're not well, like, I want my pillow.
Yeah, it's my comfort. I'm kind of a fucked up hot mess child, basically. But I'm away from everything I know.
Yeah, but you had it at home.
Yeah, I carried it around the house yeah. when I was, like, a big teenager. Like, I don't suck my thumb or suck on the corner of it or anything. It's just comfy.
You just wander around a bit. Like, some kids have a teddy bear that they drag behind. And you've
basically.
Got
this, I've got my pillow. It's funny because we had a house cleaner for a while. And, like, one time I came home and they, like, changed. I'd left, like, clean bedding out and they changed the bedding. And they obviously didn't know what this pillow was. It was kind of like laid across the foot of the bed. Like they thought it was a small blanket. Like it's so thin.
It's ridiculous.
But it's my comfort. Like it's the only taste of home. But yeah, so
you'd take that with you. You'd take Alfie. You'd take half the stuff. So I'd have less stuff.
I'm not taking half the shit. You know how expensive it is to ship stuff to America?
Well, whatever. But I think I'd navigate the kitchen all right. After a little while, I'd get used to it.
I hate to see what state.
I'm a smart cookie.
There'd just be guitars and plates that you can't be bothered to put in the dishwasher everywhere.
Yeah. I'd get a lodger. Sorry, but yeah, and we're able to laugh and joke about this. I think there's a lot of couples who would be quite...
It's more that I'm just annoyed with you that you can't put a dish away for 10 years.
But you know, some people couldn't have this conversation.
Like, seriously, can I ask you why?
I've just got other things to do.
No, you don't. You take the plates out after dinner and just come back in and sit down and play snooker. That's not things to do.
No, you take them out lately because you take it and you feed the
dogs. And they go in the dishwasher.
Not always.
They do.
Not always.
Unless it's full.
I frequently put stuff in the dishwasher. It's only if it's full and I can't get
it. I'm going to start doing stories every time I have to ask you to put a dish.
Okay. But going back to what I was saying was...
This would drive me to cheat.
But it's good that we can even joke about leaving each other and split up and
doing that. Because, like, sometimes you do think about it.
But a lot of people are like, I don't want to think about it. I can't think of it. It's like, if you can't joke about it, then... Could you really not be with that person? And then are you dependent on them?
Well, I think it's something that I've had to think about because it's not like I can just go stay at my mom's house for the night. Like, I'm away from everything that's natural to me. Obviously, I have friends and stuff now and I can afford to go stay in a hotel for the night. Not that we've ever left each other for the night when we've had a fight. That's not our style. We don't storm out of the house. Sometimes we're like, look, I've had enough of this fight. I'm going out for a bit. That's about as dramatic as it gets.
You slept in the attic room once for half the night.
It was so cold. It wasn't even, it was only like an hour.
Yeah.
And I didn't sleep. But you made me forget what I was saying.
You was why you couldn't stay at your mum's, so you think about
being. Yes, I mean, like, you know, we've had some fights where, like, you do think, like, fuck's sake, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Like, not that we fight constantly, but, you know, when in the middle of a big fight or right after one, you think, this is not worth it. Like, you do feel that way. Not that it's true, but. You feel, and I thought, okay, if this got to the point where I was done, what would I do? And I think, right, I'd go home. Like, yeah, I like it here, it's fine, but I am here for us. And if us is not a thing, then I'm taking the dog, you can keep the other one, and...
He's the best one anyway.
We can have him, it's fine. And I'm just gonna go. Like, I'll just go home, start over. Like, obviously it would take a hell of a lot to get me to that point. But, you know, the amount of dishes that don't get put in the dishwasher add up quite quickly. So, who knows what that number is.
It's not that many. Anyway, should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I guess so. But did we actually solve anything?
Don't be paranoid. Confront them.
Reassure people.
Be there because you want to be there.
Yeah, don't make hasty accusations.
Yeah. And
introspect.
Introspect, yeah.
Look into yourself. Like, you know, even if you're not suspicious and you're... single, like, you should be examining yourself and thinking about things and exploring yourself. Like, that sounds sexy and like masturbation, but it's not really what I mean.
Da-na-na-na-na.
We should have a masturbation episode soon. Not in which we masturbate, in which we discuss how people can be uncomfortable with their partners masturbating and stuff.
Yes, let's do that, because okay. I find that quite weird.
Yeah, and I have...
Actually, someone I follow on Twitter...
Okay, hold on, save it for the episode.
No, this is a precursor now. This is the teaser, this is the trailer for this episode. But someone put a poll on Twitter that said, I can't put the word in, but it was basically, and it was aimed at men, and it was like, basically asking if they mind or if they're insecure if their partner basically touches themselves during sex. And some men were like, no, fuck it, like, if she's enjoying it, that's a real turn on. And others are like, yeah, she needs to, like, rub her clear, I'm not doing my job good enough, and like, this real insecurity, which surprised me. So let's talk about that in another episode.
I guess we're gonna have to do it next now.
Yeah, that's. We should have had some like dramatic Hollywood music.
You did it yourself. Da-na-na.
What's that note in like the bum note?
What
like,
the Michael Bay?
The Michael Bay like
boom boom.
The doom note like boom.
Yeah. Okay, I wish people could see the face you make when you do that sound. Do really? Boom. You like make your lips touch your nose somehow. Boom.
Well, because you've got to get the follow through.
Boom. It's like that sound that you started making when you came up behind me. No, that's not quite. I'm gonna get really close. He comes up behind me. You haven't done it in ages. I really miss it. And you just go. Do it. Do it in the mic.
Please. No, you've done it now.
No, but you do it better because no, you've got.
But you used to love it. You just crack up.
I still do. You just don't do it anymore. Like, hey, you barely did it.
I think I've got some in my throat.
You're such a fucking liar.
I do. I think that's why you hate
performing.
I'm not doing the notes. But yeah, so I'd do that.
And it would just crack. I don't even know where it came from, but loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about. Is it the Michael Bay thing?
So the trailer, the dramatic trailer.
This is what happens when we do weeknight evening recordings. We're just tired and...
Delirium. It's not even late.
It is almost 10.
Just gone 9:30. Anyway, so... Should we do another plea for reviews?
I feel like we're being a little bit needy and no one's doing them anyway.
Well, I was listening to a podcast. Well, they might be, but I was listening to a podcast today where he asked for reviews and he only asked for iTunes. And I think that's what we should do. So people, if you've enjoyed this, please leave a review on iTunes and it helps other people find
it. That was anticlimactic.
But again, only good reviews. No shit reviews.
How could anyone possibly give us a shit review?
Because we've been a bit rambling tonight.
Because we've gone...
And we promised next week to talk about masturbation.
Can you start doing that again? That was playful, and you're not. You're very serious these days.
Serious, yeah.
You're very serious.
That's cool. So should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Leave a review. Hope you enjoy it.
And stay tuned for the masturbation episode, in which we do not masturbate.
Maybe we will.
No, we will not.
There's no video. What if we are and no one knows we are? We could be sitting here naked, and no one would know.
I don't like this conversation.
What?
You've taken it to a dark place. Stop messing with the chair.
I mean, it's unlikely we'll do that.
It's...
Just to reassure
It's right impossible that we will do that. You could get arrested.
Why?
Because I'd report you.
For what? Masturbating in my own home?
In public, kind of.
It's not in public.
And that's like molesting people. They'd have no idea.
That's not molesting
Subliminal them. Subliminal masturbation.
No, it's fine. But I don't think we will.
Stop saying that because we will not. We wouldn't even entertain it apart from, like, joking about it.
Yeah, but you say that now, but you've got a week to think about it. Maybe, like, actually, babe, I didn't think about this last week.
That wouldn't would I ever...
I think it really add a new dynamic to the show.
I want to hit you with this little round microphone.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've asked you twice to sign off and you just haven't, so I've kept talking.
You just start saying random shit. Okay. Good night, friends.